The time is 5:00 and the Warwick Finance Committee is now in session. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on July 17th?
So moved.
Second.
May I, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Under PCR 87-23, bid number one, bid 2022-006, City of Warwick Medical Pharmacy and Dental Insurance Benefits. Good evening, Director. Please identify title and name.
Hello, Stephen Rotondo, Personnel Director, Personnel Department. This is a request to extend the agreement that we have with the, for health, dental, and pharmacy insurance with the trust. The reason we're requesting this is, as you can see from my memo of transmittal, the city's premium increase has amounted to just a smidgen over, or smidgen less than, 1/4 of 1% over the three-year relationship with the trust. The trust negotiates superior pharmacy rebates with Blue Cross. By way of example, in the last 24 months with our previous carrier, our pharmacy rebates were about $1.85 million. In the last 24 months with the trust, the pharmacy rebates are $4.2 million. In addition, from the back of the house perspective, the trust consistently provides responsive, is consistently responsive to the city's needs and provides superior customer service. Monthly billing is accurate and concise, does not require extensive auditing. They provide us the annual calculation of the, and payment of the city's PCORI fee, which is approximately $6,200 a year. They also do mandatory reporting as required by the ACA. They provide robust wellness programs to foster healthy choices and improve employee well-being. And they also have a very reasonable administrative overhead fee of 11 cents per employee per month. So for these reasons, we think this relationship is going well. They've proven to be holding the costs on our premiums. And so we're respectfully requesting that we can extend this relationship for 2 more years. In so doing, we would avoid having to prepare an RFP for this fiscal year, this coming fiscal year. And that would require first creating an RFP for a consultant, selecting a consultant. And the last time we did that, it was $18,000 for the consultant. I suspect it'll be $21,000 this time around. So we save that in addition to everything else.
Thank you, Director. So you're indicating that for the last 3 years, that, correct, the last 3 years that this contract was held. Hold on, let me go back and get the exact numbers. You're stating that at that time, everything has, you know, the contract has been honored. There's been no major issues, no stoppage, no hiccups. With the coverage, the recommendations have been on point?
Yeah, everything actually has exceeded our expectations. And I can't speak enough about the back of the house stuff, which nobody would hear would see and probably wouldn't care about. But we did spend with previous carrier a lot of time just auditing the bills and making corrections. And that has saved us considerably. But yes, we're into our third year. This expires at the end of this fiscal year. So those premiums are set for the year. They don't change. Each year we get our premiums. It's set, it's fixed, like with any insurer.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council, Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Director. So I just want to highlight this. This is one of the biggest things that the council votes on every year, other than the budget or every time this comes up. Previously, it was going year to year. And I know that, as you mentioned, having a consultant every year, around $20,000. When the argument was made a couple of years ago to do a multi-year contract, one of the benefits that we would receive from that is knowing how much the payments were going to be and locked in. That came to fruition, correct, Director?
Yes, there's a change in the premium every year, of course. And the concern of this council was, remember, we saved money. We saved about 5% from one year to the next in our first year out on this. So the concern with the council was this a loss leader? Are we going to get whacked out in 2 years two and year three? And the answer is no. You could see from that memo of transmittal over a three-year period, even though inevitably your premiums will fluctuate a little bit, it's been, again, less than a quarter of 1% over a three-year period.
And that's what I think is very important to highlight this evening is that. I mean, we're talking healthcare, so these could have huge swings. So that is very good news that you bring to us. Talk about the administrative costs again. That was another one of the benefits with going with the trust. I believe they were on the lighter end of the quarterly administrative report or however they bill us on that.
So are you referring to the reporting that they do for us or their costs of doing business, what they charge us?
The cost. Don't they have a cost per transaction or for?
So, yeah, that was the 11 cents that I was referring to. And I'm not going to be able to articulate this as well as other people can. But the way that the trust does it is we actually, I hope I'm saying this correctly, they get their premiums and they get some investment return on their premiums and they credit that back to their overhead costs. So their overhead costs, that's why that at the end of the day, they're charging us 11 cents per person per month. The overhead cost may be a little bit more for them to administer, but because they're utilizing their investment income, that credits to all the members. So I think that's, I don't know if I'm explaining that correctly. Maybe someone else can explain it better. But that, the big picture is, the macro is, it's 11 cents per person per month, which is very reasonable.
Yes, and that's what I was touching on. So again, this is a very important issue. It affects all the city employees. Healthcare is very important to every individual, everyone's family. So that's why we wanted to make sure that, you know, we're doing our work on this. I'm pleased with this, the way that's come back. I like doing the multi-year. It's on that. So we just have some reliability, some predictability when we're doing the budgets and stuff like that. But I was also pleased to hear that you've been very happy with the service going through. Again, these healthcare has a huge impact on individual lives. And this is a stuff that it really affects a family. So I'm pleased to hear that is going smoothly as well. I support this bid, and I thank the chairman for his time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Are there any further comments, questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Director.
Hey, Councilman.
The first question that I have is, why are you coming before us almost a year ahead of time to renew this contract?
Very good question. Well, for one thing, we have the rates are fixed, so we're not going to see there's not going to be any shockers during the course of the year because the premium rates were fixed as of July 1st. The second is, if we don't get the extension, I have to go back, put together an RFP for a consultant. We have to put that out and go through the bidding process for that, come before this board and recommend a health insurance consultant who will then prepare the RFP, crunch the numbers, because it's a big data crunch, if you will, that we don't have the capacity for, and based on those numbers and review the proposals, based on those numbers, make a recommendation to the city, which we would then come back to the council and say, this is the carrier that we want to use for the next year or 3 years. If we don't do it now, actually, if I had been on my game, I would have been here a month ago.
So with the current contract not expiring until June 30th, 2024, you're saying that our premiums are fixed. So I take it that means that we are not self-funded. Our premiums are fixed, meaning that regardless of what we have for money out versus money in, our premiums will not change.
Right, our premiums are fixed, yes. What changes is people go on family care, they come off family care, they get high, you know, those are the fluctuations. Every bill is a little different. Some people add dental, they get rid of dental, people retire and so on, and they pass away if they're retired. So there's always that fluctuation in the monthly billing. No monthly bill is the same, but the rate charged is fixed. Another point to that, we have to get it done. All of our contracts have a 60-day notification, so we have to get it done. We have to get it done and have a decision made 60 days prior to the expiration of June 30th. So we need to have it done 2 months earlier, so that if we pick someone else, which I don't think we will, given the market, but you have to plan for that and give yourself 60 days prior to the end of the fiscal year.
So, maybe we might be on a slightly different page regarding my question. What I'm getting at is, I'm going to use a round number. Let's say that, I'll use your number, rounding it out to $22 million in our previous contract from July 1st, 21 through June 30th, 24. Our premium is a rounded number of $22 million. If at the end of June 30th, the trust discovers that we've actually had expenses of $24 million, does that additional cost get factored into the new contract? Or do they just absorb it and say, thank you, we're happy to help you out?
No, they will, based on utilization, they'll come back every year with a new premium amount. So this, proving this today, doesn't lock us in for another 2 years into this premium amount. I don't think anyone would do that. No one would. So based on our utilization this year, when they're doing their numbers and we're coming back here to the budget next year, they're going to show what their new premiums are. And up until this year, they were as you can see, over a three-year period, less than a quarter of a percent, less than one quarter of 1%, tells me that they've established really some really goodwill with us. And
I'll get to that in a minute. Actually, I don't see that. I'll need a little help with that particular issue. But I'm still staying with where we are now. If between now and June 30th, you said that ambulatization, if it changes, if it increases to the point where we spend more than what our premiums generated, that would be factored in to the following year or the following terms of healthcare. So the trust, they have no clue what we're going to have for expenses from today to June 30th. So my point here is I need some assurance. I need total assurance from you that regardless of what we have for expenses in our healthcare between now and June 30th, this premium for the next 2 years of roughly $49,500,000 is not going to change.
Councilman, the costs of our premiums that are in effect for fiscal 2024 will change. They change every year, and nobody can guarantee that those premium costs will not change. It's just an impossible guarantee. No insurance company, no insurer, Blue Cross would never say we'll fix your rates for 2 years in a row. I could never guarantee that, and nor would we find a carrier, or even if we were self-insured, who would say your premiums or your working rates aren't going to go up from year to year. That's impossible.
So this evening, if this city council approves this two-year request that you're bringing to us for $49,500,000, did you just say that that could change?
Yeah, these are estimates.
Ah.
When we come to the council with our annual request for financing, that's an estimate too. I mean, I don't know that you could ever say that there's a guarantee, especially in health insurance, that you're going to get the same rate year after year. I've been in the HR business since 1985. I've never seen it ever. And I can harken back to the days when annual health insurance increases were in the double digits consistently. So we're in a much better place now. And I think, but we cannot, we'll never guarantee that your rate's not going to change from year to year.
So then why wouldn't it make sense for us, given the fact that you're telling us there is a chance for a change in premium between now and the end of this contract, which is 10 months away, why wouldn't it make sense for us to say, okay, fine, why don't we wait until April or May when we have more accurate numbers? You're still almost 50% away from the life of this contract. So I don't understand the need for coming to us 10 months later, literally maybe 60% into a two-year contract, and asking us to approve a number that you just said to us could change. We have no idea what that change is going to be. Granted, it may be less, it could also be more. So why would we want to sign on to something with such a possibility of change 10 months down the road when it's not necessary? I understand about logistics. I've been through a lot of these things now with healthcare and budgets, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm aware of that. But what is the advantage to the taxpayers for us to go ahead and give you an approval of $50 million or so when we don't know what the answer is? And I'm just going to leave that as rhetorical. More importantly, right now, before I get shut down, you said that there is less than a 1% increase in the cost of the health care for the next 2 years. This is what I need some help understanding, because I'm looking at the two-year contract from 2021 through 2024, and that premium is round the number out to $21,900,000. For the next 2 years, the premium isn't $43,800,000. The premium is $49,601,000. How is that not an increase to go from, I'll make it even easier, from 22,000 for the first 2 years, 22 million for the first 2 years, to close to 50 million in the second 2 years? How is that not an increase?
When I did this numbers, I calculated an increase. What I did is I took our approved budget for this year on health insurance. I calculated, I took the number, it's there, it's in the budget. I deducted out our projected employee contributions, and I used a multiplier of 3%, which was the CPI at the time, which I did these calculations end of June. So the first year of this agreement, the first year of this proposal, that's the number I used for health insurance. The second year of the proposal, because who knows what the CPI is going to be down the road, I took the calculation for the fiscal 2025, and I added, I multiplied it by 1.0024, which has been our three-year experience with this group. But also, I took the dental, what we've predicted for the cost for the dental for this year, and I just doubled it for 2 years because really our history with the dentals have been that the prices have been going down, not up. But just because I a more conservative estimate, I took this year's projection and doubled it to give us a two-year number. So that number that you're looking at in the proposal, that's how I derived those numbers that are in that proposal.
Thank you, Director.
Director, I still don't understand. If you could bear with me, Chairman.
I was just going to pause for one moment. Please hold on to your question.
I'd like to just finish my train on that question.
Councilman, we're not going to argue. I'm going to ask you just to hold. You've got the 10 minutes. I am going to ask other members of the council if they would like to ask a question or a follow-up from what you asked. That's all. We do this every meeting. This has been the rules that you voted on, so we're going to continue.
I did not vote on this rule. Don't put words in my mouth. Mr. Chairman, I voted no on this rule and the other change in the council rules, to make it clear.
The majority won the vote, and that's how it works. Is there any other questions from members of the council on this item, on this one bid item? I have a question for the director. Did Councilman Lattiser give you a phone call at all during the course of the month when this bid or the week when this bid was released at all? Any questions?
No.
I don't.
Yeah. I'll answer it. No.
Thank you. Councilman McElroy, I realize if you have a question on the health care, feel free. But now I'm going to ask this committee. I feel that the questions were asked, but if there's someone who would like to make a motion following the rules that were voted on and approved by this body to extend the 10-minute limit, that is at 12 minutes and 5 seconds of Councilman Lattiser.
I make a motion to extend it by 5 minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Councilman. Aye.
Thank you. So, Director, I understand what you're talking about and your formulas. The only formula I'm looking at is a current premium, round numbers, for the previous 2 years of $22 million. I'm looking at round numbers for the next 2 years premium of $49,500. That looks to me somewhere around a $6.5 million increase. And that's what I said in the beginning. I don't understand what you mean when you say there is less than a 1% increase.
When you're using that number, I maybe we're talking two different things. When I say the premium increase, I'm referring to what's on the cover memo. You could see those premiums; those are what they are. If you're talking about when you're talking in terms of the $22 million, I'm not sure where you're getting that, but I think you're referring to what we pay for health insurance, correct?
Director, I'm referring to the numbers that you've provided us. You provided us with the current contract award. That is 2021 through 2024. That is $21,833,316. These are not my numbers. These are your numbers. And the current increase requested, you're increasing $49,461,728 for a total over 4 years of $71,295,044. That doesn't equal less than a 1% increase to me. If I take the $22 million for the last 2 years, double it for the next 2 years, I come up with $44 million, not $49,500,000.
Okay. So when I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong page. That 833,316. That was for the first year of this contract, which would be fiscal year 2021. That was the first year annual cost of the contract for fiscal. That's what they bid on. I mean that's was the first year of this contract.
How can that be? When you're saying the current contract period is 2021 through 2024, then you say that contract period July 21st through, July 1 through 2021 through June 30th, 2024 is what the contract is. And you're talking contract award $21,833,000. So I rounded out to $22 million. Is that for 2 years or is that for 1 year? Because over here, it's speaking to it being 2 years.
This is the first year of the contract. That is...
For the record, Councilman, your time's been paused.
That's what, please?
Your time has been paused. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Councilman, I don't know where this...
Could you please identify, please?
Oh, sure. Bruce Kaiser, Director of Economic Development. I worked on the, I've worked on the health insurance issue in the past in other roles with the city. I think, in part, Stephen has provided in the cover memo what the actual per-employee premium costs are on a per-month basis. They calculated it is less than a 0.25% increase on what the actual premiums are on a per-employee basis, individual and family, et cetera. But our enrollment has changed as well. We brought back a number of employees from the layoffs during prior administration, and there's been additional retirees. So the overall enrollment has increased as well. More numbers, obviously, add to the appropriation that is required in order to support the health insurance costs for active and retired employees. I don't know whether that, I don't have the calculation to address the change that you indicated from the 40-some million to the 49, but enrollment has changed, and that does have, that bears significantly on what our overall cost is.
So based upon, the activity in the payroll, has the payroll increased to that degree? First question. Second question, let me back up. First question is, has the contribution rate from the city employees increased from the 20%?
No, it's still 20%. Still 20%.
Okay, yeah. So there's no additional income coming from that. So now we are talking about if an increase of $5 million in premium, which is over 20%, an increase of over 20% on the premium, and you're saying that it's attributed to new hires or additional employees. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying retirements, additional employees, and bringing back laid off employees from prior to FY22. Has had an influence on what our outlays are for the overall cost of healthcare. I don't have the number specifically what that, how much bearing that has, but there were obviously there were a significant number of employees brought back, and there's been substantial number of retirees during that period as well. So if the overall growth in number of covered employees has risen.
So assuming that's the case, don't you think that it would have made sense to provide us with that information? So when we're looking at it and we're looking at what is supposedly less than a 1% increase, but yet when you do the simple math, it comes up to over a $5 million increase. Don't you think it would have made sense to provide us with that information in here? This is the reasons why we have all these conversations. And no, I didn't call before because the call is too lengthy and because this is something that needs to be discussed right here, because the taxpayers need to have an understanding as to what is going on with this. This is a significant part of our budget, maybe 8% of our budget. So yeah, I think that we should have had those numbers so that we can sit here and take a look at this and say, okay, fine, we've had this people on, this people off, and yada, 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 and maybe this makes sense. Right now, I don't know if it makes sense because I don't have that information. To me, it doesn't make sense because we're looking at, as I said, close to a $6 million plus increase in the cost to the taxpayers. And I'm looking for an explanation, and I'm looking for the numbers. But apparently we don't have them, or at least not for us this evening.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you. Thank you for indulging me, members of the committee.
Are there any further questions, comments from members of this council?
Oh, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilman.
I'm still going to do a little more thinking on this, and with that said, I would like to request a PCR on that, please.
Madam Clerk.
We've got a new speaker at the podium.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Yes, before we, we'll get to that. I do apologize. One moment. I recognize Aaron Mackesy, Chief of Staff to the Mayor. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Councilman Lattiser, I just want to make, for the record, all council members are welcome to provide the administration with questions on docket items once they're posted on the public docket. Those questions, you'd be happy to reach out to myself or Director Rotondo. I know several of your colleagues did the same today and in the previous days. If you had those questions, we would have been happy to provide that information to you before the council meeting so you could have that discussion in public as you'd like to do. There's nothing against that. We'd be happy to provide that information, but the director would need the opportunity to collect that data. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Duly noted.
Are there any questions, comments from members of the public on bid 2022-006? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman.
May I just comment on the Chief of Staff's communication? Because he commented directly to me.
I think he made a general say. He did say, Councilman, because I asked the question, then you followed up with I think he did some clarification on the administration. Yeah. I would just like to get the PCR because we'll continue this in the council.
Fine.
PCR 9023.
Repeat that, please.
9023.
Okay, bid 2022-006, City of Warwick Medical Pharmaceutical and Dental Insurance Benefits is now PCR 9023. I will ask this committee for a recommendation.
I'll move favorable.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is bid 2023-427, Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation, Contract 1. Good evening, Director. Please identify.
Good evening. Eric Earls, Director of Public Works. We are here. We're looking to make a new recommendation for this project. Upon further review of the bids, it became apparent that John Rocchio Corporation front-loaded their bid with that they have $450,000 as the item for sediment control. So sediment control is one of the first things you do on the project, right? You get out there, you set up your sediment controls, and then you move on to the next phases of the project. Brito, the next lowest bidder, had sediment controls at $8,000. So that's $450,000 versus $8,000. So that means that Rocchio would have set up their sediment controls for, what, $8,000 maybe? And then invoice the city for $450,000 because that's what they put in their bid. So with that said, the city is exercising its right to disqualify Rocchio as an unbalanced bid and go with Brito, the second lowest bidder, with a difference of only of under $3,000 on a project that is 2.7 roughly million.
Director, just for clarification, we did talk about this, and this is, I think, what CB is, the Brito, the company that's in our packet as CB Utility.
Yes, sorry.
Is Brito. No, that's fine. That's the clarification. So, and could you please just take a quick sentence and elaborate on what exactly the Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation, I think that this is a continuation of quite some time.
Yeah, the Lincoln Avenue Pipeline Rehabilitation Project is essentially, and Mike St. Pierre, who's here from the Water Division, can probably speak to it in more detail, but the Cliff Notes version is that this pipeline is one of the main suppliers to the city of our water distribution. It comes directly from Providence Reservoir. So without this in place, obviously the city would struggle to meet its water needs. Currently it's being bypassed, but the bypass isn't 100% reliable. It's an older system. And so this will essentially, you know, put in place a system that will more likely guarantee the city's water infrastructure for years to come.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thanks, Director. You guys included some older communications in your materials on this bid that look like they maybe called out past issues with the vendor.
Yeah, it wasn't in the summary letter that that Water Division Chief DiPietrillo put together, but there have been issues with Rocchio as a contractor in the city in the past. I don't know the specifics, so I don't want to get into that here, but that was also part of the review discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you weren't involved in the whole bid process, I was just wondering, given how close the original bids are, what the logic was around going with a bidder that now it's kind of come to light we had challenges with in the past. Has any of this work commenced? Has Rocchio done any work yet?
No.
Hi, I'm Mike St. Pierre, the business manager for the Water Division.
Thank you.
So basically, this project is going to be completed in two phases. It's contract one, contract two. We've gone through the design phase of contract one, and we went out to bid for the rehabilitation of the main 30-inch line that we have that runs close to Route 37, and it runs under Route 95. So obviously it's an important artery for us. The reason that we decided to go with Brito CB Utility is basically what Eric said. It's a front heavy bid, it's in the bid specs that we can reserve the right to disqualify them. Basically he'd be getting all the money up front for something that, in all honesty, should not cost the amount that they put in the bid. It was, I wouldn't say that it was missed during the vetting process originally, but it became more apparent that it's not an ideal situation for us to move forward. So that's pretty much, in a nutshell, why we decided to go with CB Utility, or Brito.
And can CB get up to speed on the project quickly so we don't have any delays?
Absolutely. To the credit of all the people that entered bids, they're all, obviously the qualifications vary, but between the two of them, actually Brito has a little bit more experience with waterworks and Rocchio had more experience with sewer works. So initially we went with the lowest bid, but we decided that we would go with CB Utility in part because they were the second lowest. We felt that the more responsible contractor.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of this committee? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, and Director. I just want to point out, I think that's very important information that you gave us. When we're going through this, we can look at the numbers and stuff like that. But having that knowledge of previous experience working with these companies, and if they're, you know, wasn't pleasurable, they didn't do a good job and stuff like that, that's stuff that we need to know when we're factoring in. Because it's not just dollars and cents, it's getting the projects done correctly and safely. So that's very important information. And I thought you did a good job of explaining exactly why you threw out the first bid, because that huge swing there, and you explained it. And that's very important. As we're talking about, I mean, these are the water underneath 95, major project, would affect hundreds of the thousands of people living here and in the city of Warwick. So this is a very important project. So I just wanted to thank you for breaking it down, because we can look at the dollars and cents, but having the background information and know previous experiences, you guys being the people that are working with them every single day, it's very valuable to the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Further comments, questions from members of this council? Councilman Lattisore.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Director. Was this bid held from a previous meeting?
Yes.
It was. Okay. Yeah, I kind of thought so. I'm trying to regroup my memory. So as I recall, when this bid came before us, I had raised some concerns about the disparity between the $450,000 and the $8,000. And I seem to remember that conversation had taken place, I believe it was with Director DiPietrillo, and he had agreed to hold this to review this in more depth. Is that pretty accurate?
I don't recall that discussion.
Okay. Okay, it would be easy enough to check on that. But I am glad that you did review it, and I am glad that your department has come to the conclusion that that made zero sense in anyone's eyes. And I will be supporting that. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Further question, comments from members of this council? Question, comments from members of the public on bid 2023-427. Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Bid 2024-101, fire apparatus, 1,500 GPM pumper. Good evening, Chief. Please identify and title, please.
Good evening, Chairman. Peter McMichael, Fire Chief. The department has reviewed bid 2020-101 fire apparatus, 1,500 gallon per minute pumper, and recommends awarding the bid to Greenwood Emergency Vehicles of North Attleboro. Greenwood Emergency Vehicles met all of the specifications as outlined in the bid. This bid is for one 2026 E1 pumper with a 1,500 gallon per minute pump and 700 gallon water tank. Funds for the purchase will be from the city's ARPA funds for a total not to exceed $702,967. The purchase will allow us to replace a current frontline truck that has exceeded its useful lifespan and is expected to be removed from service.
Thank you, Chief. We actually had a couple in-depth conversations concerning this and other bids that I won't mention or get into at this time. But I want to thank you for, you know, I know that you've been diligent about being ahead of the game with the two-year production slowdown and knowing and predicting the service life of the vehicles that respond to emergencies for our residents, direct services to our residents. So I thank you for the time and answering the questions we had, and we'll continue that moving forward. Councilman Foley.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Two questions. What was the, you said the other vehicle that it will replace has outlived its service life. By how much do you know?
So right now we have one truck on order, and this will be our second truck on order. They're to replace engines one and two. One's on, engine one's right here in Appanog. Engine two is on Post Road down by Walmart. Engine one here is at 223,000 miles. That is a 2007. It's a 16-year-old truck. The other engine is at 150,000 miles. That suffers from a lot of rot. Which one has to be removed from service first? We're not really sure, to be honest with you. But this will be our second truck on order. Both of those, and those are the two spots where those trucks will be going.
And this one that we're ordering, if we vote this tonight, when is the delivery on this one?
So delivery on the truck we're going through for tonight is 820 days out. So we're seeing unprecedented delays in manufacturing.
I'm sorry, did you say 800?
I did. So we're trying to replace vehicles. Our last two trucks that we received were for vehicles that had already been taken out of service, so they no longer existed. We were using reserve trucks. It is likely that the two trucks that this will be replacing, at least one of them, possibly both, will be removed from service before they come in, which is why we've built up our reserve fleet as well, so that we can accommodate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Gebhardt.
Hey, Chief.
Hi.
I just wanted to confirm, this is one of the purchases we approved in the budget under the ARPA funds for replacing vehicles.
That's right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
We mentioned that we're purchasing this with ARPA funds and 820 days on delivery, and we pay on delivery. So I spoke to the mayor this afternoon. I had some concerns on the ARPA. There are some deadlines. There's deadlines of when you have to allocate it, and there's deadlines on when you have to pay for it. Mayor assured me that guys are aware of that. You know we'll make sure. And there's nothing that precludes us from paying if the deadline does come up and they need 10 more days or whatever, we could pay for it to make sure. I just wanted to flag that because that was a concern. I know there is some talk about extending the ARPA deadlines, but that's at the federal level. So as long as everyone's aware of the deadlines, I feel comfortable on that. The mayor's aware of it. We spoke about it today. So this is exactly what these ARPA funds, these one-time funds, are great use for. And it sounds like City of Warwick's not the only municipality using these ARPA funds to buy this, and that's why it's taken 820 days to receive that.
Exactly.
So just keep an eye on those deadlines, and we look forward to getting that truck in. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Questions, comments from members of this council on this bid? Councilman Lattisor.
So through the chair to Council President McAllister. So you bring up a very good point. So what happens if, let me back up. What is our deadline for dispensing of the ARPA funds?
I believe the mayor said it has to be allocated by the end of this year and paid for the following year. So almost 2 years out. But we could purchase ahead of time as well, so we don't have to wait to pay for it. We just, as a custom, we've always paid on delivery, mm-hmm. which is a good practice. But okay. The mayor assured me that won't trip us up if we need to pay for it. We won't miss the deadline. We won't not use the money for this.
So I'm assuming that, for lack of a better description, there'll be a tickler file or some sort of file set up to track these type of things. Because this is probably not the only issue, right? And we're talking 2.25 years, 820 days. So it could easily fall off the radar screen. I mean, it's 2 years down the road.
Correct. Right? The mayor, he had it right on him. As soon as I asked him that, it sounds like they have the plan in place for that. So I felt very confident after speaking to the mayor.
All right. Fair enough. Chief, hi.
Hello.
So, Chief, you said that these two new vehicles, the one we've already approved and possibly this one, they're going to replace two existing vehicles, correct?
Yes, sir.
So it is fair to say that by bringing on these two new vehicles, this will not require an increase in staffing or in minimum manning. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
To clarify on the ARPA deadlines, I think that if I'm not mistaken, when we're talking about the deadline being the end of next year, we're talking the calendar year, not the fiscal year. So The deadline for the allocation would be December 31, 2024, and then the allocation for the actual spending would be December 31, 2026, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further question, comments from members of this council? Thank you. Are there questions, comments on this bid from members of the public? Questions, comments? Yes, please. Come on up to the microphone. Take your time. Just please identify when you get up to the microphone.
So my name is Ann Sheridan. I was just curious. The chief said, I understand the truck is a used vehicle?
No, this is a brand new vehicle.
Yes. Okay, good. That makes more sense then. Okay, thank you. That was it.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next bid is bid 2024-158, purchase of various new police vehicles. Good evening, Major. Please identify in the department.
Good evening. Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department is seeking a 56-6 exception to bid to purchase various police vehicles from Colonial Municipal Group under the Greater Boston Police Council Cooperative Bid. The purchase would include the following vehicles: 8 2023 Ford Explorer Police Interceptor Utilities priced at $58,501.02. 1 2023 Ford Explorer K9 Police Interceptor Utility priced at $68,733.72. And the last vehicle in this bid would be 1 2024 Chevy Silverado 2500 equipped with a Fisher plow priced at $65,142.63. The total spending authority sought for the 10 vehicles is $601,884.51. If approved, this purchase would be made with approved capital outlay funds, budget code 5100400. This purchase is part of the department's fiscal year 24 vehicle purchase plan.
Thank you, Major. And just so the 8 2023s and the 1 2023, those are not used. They are 2023 models, and you're going for a 2024 model.
No, these are all 2023 model year vehicles.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And not previously owned by any prior department. They're still
brand new.
Brand new, and they're ready for delivery.
So for the 8, we have 6 out of 8 are ready for delivery.
Okay.
For the K9 unit, that is in ready for delivery also. And then the last vehicle, the Silverado, is not currently available.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt.
Major. We're purchasing these vehicles with ARPA funds as well?
Yes, sir.
And these were included in the 24 budget in the ARPA supplement?
Yes, that's what Treasury directed us to, that these would be purchased under ARPA funds.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of this council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
First of all, I am very happy to see that we are using, the administration is using the ARPA money to invest into these vehicles. That certainly is prudent. The question I have is, why does the police department need a pickup truck with a plow?
So that's going to be assigned to our garage, the maintenance garage. They are tasked with doing quite a bit of maintenance work, taking care of the facility, plowing in the winter. The crew cab will also help because they have to, when these vehicles, such as these that are on the bid, are up at Colonial, they need to transport numerous garage personnel up there to retrieve the vehicles and drive them back here. They're also tasked with endless other odd jobs that were a truck comes in very much in handy.
So this vehicle will be replacing a pickup truck and a plow that you have now?
Yeah, so we have some vehicles that are being held together by Band-Aids that are handle the plowing duties and all the heavy lifting, so to speak, in the maintenance garage. So this will be replacing a vehicle there, yes.
And on the Ford Explorers, what's the mileage on those average?
The ones we're requesting a purchase?
No, I'm sorry, the ones that you're going to be replacing.
They can be anywhere from 50 to upwards of 100,000 miles, and those are all generally repurposed within the department to community policing, what we'd call second-line vehicles, basically, non-priority patrol vehicles.
Okay. Thank you, Major, and thank you for having the answers to those questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councilman. Further questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Foley.
Just clarification and emphasis. So not only are we replacing and updating our front light fleet here and with the fire department, but because we're doing that, we are now also updating our secondary line, whether it's community policing, reserve trucks. So it's a dual benefit from these purchases and the earlier purchases we discussed, correct?
That's correct. So vehicles are decommissioned, so to speak, or downgraded from the patrol, you know, the cars you see race around the city going all the emergency response calls. They're then downgraded to community policing. They're still very capable of going to calls and whatnot, but they're not frontline vehicles necessarily anymore. So to community policing and other even detectives who don't have a need to race around and go to calls. And then those vehicles subsequently get downgraded to detail vehicles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Major, you know, I appreciate Councilman Lattice's question very much because it just kind of reinforces that since you guys are in a priority position 24/7, 365 days a week, instead of requesting or waiting on DPW to take a vehicle off the road servicing the residents to go take care of the lot at, like, you know, in a heavy storm, it would take a lot of resources to continue to do while the vehicles are going in and out and servicing the citizens. It just makes sense. And I appreciate Councilman Lattice for bringing that up because it's, you know, something that you look at, you review the bid, we have a conversation. But when you ask the question like that, like, you know, when you say that we have vehicles that do the job, but they're falling apart, you realize that there's a bigger than just the uniforms, you know, to the uniform service members, it's bigger. It's the support crew too, the logistics and everything else. So I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilman.
So that is specifically why I ask the questions that I do on the floor. No. Because a question asked yesterday or 2 days ago between me and the department head may not get repeated here on the floor. And someone might look at a bid like that and say, what does the police department need a snowplow for? And the major answered the question spot on, no hesitation, had the answer. And it's a very, very good use of it. And that's why I ask the questions that I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the council? Are there any comments, questions from members of the public? Thank you. Just please identify.
Hi, Cindy Wilson. So the cars that we're trading in are a year old with 50,000 miles. We're keeping them. We're not trading them in.
No, they're not traded in. They're repurposed within our department.
And they have 50,000 miles.
That is just a rough estimate. They range anywhere from 50 upwards of 100 or sometimes even more. We got in a bad spot a couple of years back where we had vehicles with 120,000, 130,000 miles on the road.
I mean, to the best of my knowledge, vehicles last, 50,000 is
nothing. These vehicles are not going to the supermarket, ma'am. They're going to, like, they have to be top-notch in perfect shape in
Did you just say they're not going to the supermarket to me?
They're not running.
Yeah, I kind of
realize
that.
They have to be capable of doing what they do on the road, going to emergency calls and helping people.
So they lose that ability after 50,000 to go fast?
They do. The vehicles do take a toll. In that kind of environment.
Yeah, I do. I see them on the road.
Absolutely.
So now when you buy eight, you dumb down eight to another thing. So does any money ever come back? Because you have now, if you have eight and then you add eight, then what does the other eight, does anything ever get repurposed or other? I mean, you can only have so many vehicles and so many people. Do you ever get money back or?
So sometimes they get sent to other departments within the city.
Uh-huh.
Whatever department might need a vehicle.
They don't really need it to be so.
Right. So you might see very old Crown Victorias on the road right now. Those were at one point a police car, believe it or not.
Yep. All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.